Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
The theme for this evening obviously is the Lord's Supper, but a sub-theme there is the pardon that has been provided for our sins. You can see from some of the songs that we have sung, the Isaiah passage we have read, and even some of the other passages that are here in Psalm 25, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Pardon mine iniquity. Mark 10, whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. A ransom. In Acts chapter 3, Peter preaching, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent, be converted, your sins blotted out. Romans 4, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. 1 Timothy 2, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. 1 John 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. As we go to the Lord's Supper tonight, we want to consider Jesus Christ the sinner's ransom. And when you consider the ransom, there are four points to consider, because we're here to reflect upon and remember what Jesus did to give us forgiveness of sin, what he did to give us everlasting life. He paid the ransom. Well, it starts, it implies a debt that is owed by a debtor or a captive. And when you think about it, we had been, it says in Ephesians 2, dead in trespasses and sins. Matter of fact, we have been under the condemnation of God, John 3:18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we have a debt. It's a sin debt. And the sin debt has a payment that is necessary to be paid. Quite honestly, you see other passages of Scripture that allude to and confirm this reality. We have a debt to pay, our sin. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, due condemnation, that's Adam's sin passed on to us, even so the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men under justification of life. So the condemnation through Adam. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. What we owe, what is due, what is to be paid as a result of our sin is death. Romans 6. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. That's a past tense. Paul writes to believers, this is what you were. Ephesians 2, among whom also we all had our lifestyle in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. So we have a debt that we have to pay. And when you think of a debt that has to be paid, it involves a payment. A payment has to be paid to cancel the debt. Well, let me throw in there as well that to whom is this debt owed? The debt is owed to the one who has been offended, to the one who has been trespassed, who has been transgressed, whose boundaries have been overstepped, whose word has not been obeyed. The Almighty God of glory. A sin debt is offensive to Him. And because of that sin debt, there a justice has to be meted out. A payment price is demanded in order to settle the debt. And so when it comes to involving a payment to cancel the debt that's owed by the debtor, it says in the book of 1 Peter, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed. Your debt was not paid with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Matter of fact, other verses here, ones we already read, Mark 10:45, Jesus Christ gave His life. Think about that for a minute. We are here observing this Lord's Supper to reflect upon Jesus giving His life a ransom to pay your sin debt. By the way, a sin debt is something that only a perfect individual could pay, because a sinner cannot pay his own sin debt. You needed someone who is sinless to cover the entirety of that debt. And that's why Jesus gave His life a ransom. Romans 3, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. So what has been paid in order to release us from our debt is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrificial bloody debt, death of Jesus Christ, Colossians 2. And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened. He's made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Again, John 2, He is the propitiation for our sins. And in 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us. You know, when you consider this payment of debt that was paid, it is a debt out of love for us. You look at some of the parables, you look at the references that God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you think of the fact that a sinner who is unlovely and unlovable would have the perfect God-man come to this earth and to pay our sin debt by giving His very life and shed His own blood, die a humiliating death, a painful, brutal death, one that was a finality when it comes to the plan of redemption, but also that which was necessary for you and me to be released, to have this cancellation of our debt. And I don't know about you, but when I think that God would love me so much, because I know me, I'm not the most lovable guy. I'm not the most lovely. There are many occasions and times where I look up to the Lord and say, how could you love me so? But the question is answered when God just says, because I want to. I want to love you. Matter of fact, yes, you need my love, but I want to love you because you have a soul that's valuable. And I want to pay the price that you can't pay to cancel the debt that you owe. And I've sent Jesus Christ into this world, who was born to die, that he would personally cover your sin through his own shed blood. Ransom implies the acceptance of the payment to cancel the debt owed by the debtor. There has to be an acceptance. The gift has to be received. The payment has to be offered. The payment has to be received. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. And God accepted that. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and when Jesus uttered these words, "It is finished," that means God had accepted the payment price in order to cover your sins, in order to forgive you, in order to cleanse you, in order to redeem you, in order to pardon you. Romans 5:18, therefore, as the offense of judgment, we read this previously, upon men unto the condemnation, even so the righteousness of the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Matter of fact, we needed a sinless substitute. That's why works and rites and rituals and religion would be absolutely insufficient in order to provide what only Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, as your substitute could provide. I really do feel for those who are involved in a works-oriented religion. It's a dead-end street. It keeps them on a collision course with hell. There is no redeeming value. And the other thing that I really feel badly about is it's a very frustrating existence because you never know when you've done enough. You never know when you've paid enough, when you've earned enough, or you've done enough. That's why when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God said, "It's finished. I accept the bloody sacrificial death of the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world." Justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Philippians 3:9, be found in him. Now look what he says. Paul writes, a very religious man, by the way, prior to his salvation, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Again, 1 John 2, he is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, the mercy seat, the atonement, the blood atonement that was necessary to provide the forgiveness of your sins. The ransom price was paid. The ransom price was accepted. But ransom also implies freedom after the acceptance of the payment to cancel the debt owed by a debtor. Because what good would it do to pay a price and still be enslaved? What good would it do to have a price accepted and still have an enslavement? But because of Jesus Christ being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are freed from our condemnation. We are rescued, it says, Romans 6. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness, but now being made free from sin. One of the blessings of that is you have freedom from the penalty of sin. You have freedom from the power of sin, and one glorious day, there's going to be freedom from the presence of sin. Oh, hasten a day, my Father. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross has taken us from our old, wretched, debtor status, enslaved to sin of our father, the devil, and completely released us from that because Jesus sufficiently paid the price. So now we have a new nature. We have a new destination. We have a new Lord. We have new desires. We have a new life. All to Jesus I owe. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. By the way, we're not free to do whatever we want. Why would we want to? It'd be a tremendous slap in the face of the Lord who has paid the price for us. No, we are free from sin's power and sin's penalty so that we can live for Him and we can serve Him and we can honor Him and we can worship Him. You see, all to Jesus, like we sang last week, even as we sang tonight, songs regarding our hope is in the Lord who gave Himself for me. What a blessing to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid that price in order to give us everlasting life. Let's do this. We have just heard about the ransom price that was paid. Let's sing the old rugged cross and consider what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then we will take time, explain the Lord's Supper, and observe together the old rugged cross. Let's sing together.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
The Bible records for us the Lord's Supper instance and the Lord's Supper instruction. The instance is given in the gospel record. The instruction in fuller detail is provided for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Since he paid that ransom price for us, it behooves us to remember and reflect upon that with a full heart of appreciation. He paid the debt. He provided your salvation, something you could never do on your own. We have this memorial service to remember what he has done for us. And as believers in Christ, we should always be remembering. Not only when we have the Lord's Supper, but on a daily basis, let us ever remember what Jesus did to give us everlasting life. The price he paid should cause us not only to appreciate in our own hearts and minds, but should cause us to appreciate in how we live. Stemming from our hearts, a heart of appreciation is going to manifest itself in a life of full demonstration of appreciation. But let's review a few things before we observe the Lord's Supper tonight. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. He took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" I've often said, I wonder what that Thanksgiving prayer contained. But as he held the bread, he told the disciples that this is not the actual body of Christ. Nothing magical or mystical in this. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we're not gaining any more spiritual favor with God. We're not getting any more saving grace. All the saving grace was provided for us on the cross of Calvary. And therefore, this is a remembrance, a symbol, that which causes us to equate what we're holding in our hands with the Lord Jesus Christ actually dying on the cross, because he was our substitute. He gave thanks. And as we would hold this and we would consider what Jesus has done for us, may we have a heart full of reflecting thanksgiving and remembrance. In a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer just like Jesus did, thanking God, thanking him for so great a salvation, thanking him for his substitutionary atonement, his dying on the cross in our place, his body literally nailed to the cross, and our sins nailed on the cross to him so that we bear it no more. By the way, when you hold the cup, it goes on to tell us that later on, that not only did he bear our sins in his body, but he also gave thanks for that which is representing his blood. His blood in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, he also gave thanks for that. He gave thanks. Again, being there, being part of that group, for him to give thanks. Now, the disciples didn't fully understand what was going on, but he was portraying for them so great a salvation. It says again in the book of 1 Corinthians that what this cup is, the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Once again, this cup is symbolic. He doesn't say this cup do you drink it for salvation. You don't drink it to obtain more saving grace. You don't drink it to obtain any favor with God. All the favor with God, all the salvation you're ever going to get, all the forgiveness of your sin, all the cancellation of your sin debt has been provided by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And that is something which we reflect upon and we remember with a gratitude and appreciation. Because it does say, for as much as you know, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That means he was the perfect substitute. So again, as you hold that cup, you get the opportunity to reflect upon what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now, another note to make, he does point out as well in that next verse, where he's telling the Corinthian believers, helping them to be corrected so they can observe this meaningfully and properly. He says, "For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." In essence, what we're doing is we're doing a declaration, an announcement, if you will. And we're announcing together what Jesus Christ has done for us. What he has done for his church, but also what he has done for us individually. And what a blessing to do this collectively as a body. Then he says, "Whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily." We oftentimes make an announcement that the Lord's Supper is going to be observed. It's on a slide. It's in a bulletin. Why is that? So we're prepared for it. The idea of unworthily is to be flippant, nonchalant, casual, careless. This is one of those services that really is serious, significant, and solemn. And so when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are doing it with a heart full of reverential awe, as well as respectful appreciation and tremendous gratitude for what he has done. He says, "Let a man examine himself." What are we examining ourselves for? Well, for the Corinthians, there may have been some there who weren't even saved. Some who may have claimed but never had fully possessed salvation in Jesus Christ. That means there might even be some who would be here. Or in any service we would have the Lord's Supper. Sure that first of all, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. You truly are born again. And then he also points out the necessity to be right with God, right with one another, being able to be living in an obedience to him. And so for this service, this time together, we recognize that Jesus Christ has paid the price, and we want to be appreciating with a heart full of gratitude and making sure we're right with God. And again, that time of announcement, because if there is unconfessed sin, if there is indeed begrudging, or if there is something that is between you and God or between you and a fellow believer, that needs to be settled and taken care of before we observe. We want to be observing in a serious manner. We can't be perfect, obviously. But he says, "Examine yourself, and so let a man eat of that bread and drink of that cup." The last time we observed the Lord's Supper, we capitalized on that phrase. We don't examine each other. We don't look across the aisle or look across and what are they? No. It's like an internal inspection. And I believe that internal inspection is, what's my attitude? What's my level of appreciation? Where is my gratitude in this? Lord, I do this in remembrance of you. I am a forgetful person. I am negligent, but I'm glad for the opportunity to come face to face and recognize that you died in my place. You ransomed my soul. You paid the price to deliver me from hell. You rescued me from condemnation. You plucked me out of the fiery damnation of hell through Jesus Christ. And it's a time of remembrance. And so we want to do this in recognition of and reflection upon what Jesus Christ has done, because we have redemption through his blood. By the way, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus had to go through the cruel, agonizing, bloody, sacrificial crucifixion to shed his blood in order to save your soul, to forgive your sin. Strangling, electrocution, boiling alive, flaying alive, any other method of death would have been insufficient. So, he says, this cup is a New Testament in my blood. You do this as often you drink it in remembrance of me. So, if you're here tonight, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You've been born again. You're right with God. You're right with others. You're welcome to participate. If you're here tonight, you're not saved, you're not sure that you're saved, it's not something for you at this time. If you're here tonight, there's unconfessed sin, there's ill will, something between you and a fellow believer, settle it first before you partake. Because he goes on to say, for those who eat and drink damnation to themselves, do a disservice to the bloody sacrificial death of Christ. For this cause many are weak and sickly and sleep. There is judgment upon those who misuse and abuse the Lord's Supper. So what we're going to do and ask our deacons to stand, and as the scriptures have taught, we're going to give a prayer of thanksgiving for that which represents the body of Christ on the cross. The deacons will distribute them. They will come back, and then the piano plays while they're distributing. And when they come back here, we will all partake together. We'll offer a word of thanks for the cup, that which represents the shed blood of the covenant. They will distribute, piano plays, they come back together, and we participate together. By the way, while the piano is playing in the background, it's a great opportunity to do that inspection. It's a great opportunity to give praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for that which He has given to us. He paid that ransom price. So let's give thanks for that which represents the body of Christ on the cross. Robert, if you would, please, would you thank the Lord for this, please? Amen. Thank you, Robert. The Bible says, given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Scripture says he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them. I'll ask our deacons to stand. I'm going to ask Alex to thank the Lord for that which represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant that we have through His blood. And they'll distribute. Piano, please come back and we'll partake together. Alex, if you would, please. The Bible reads, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name, and with his blood shed, his life given, his burial in a tomb, his resurrection from the dead, we thank you. Shudder to think of where we would be. What would it be like without Jesus Christ as Savior? Thank you, Father, for the gift of everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for paying the ransom to rescue and redeem us, to deliver us, to save us. May we leave from this place even tonight that much more appreciative, that much more grateful, and yea, Lord, so thankful. Please, Lord, remind us, for we are negligent and we are forgetful. So remind us, Lord, the price that was paid, the gift that we've received, the home in heaven that is reserved. Well, thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording,
Let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.